You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
And it is caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the best of the Eagles.
And the Eagles win! The Eagles win!
A weekly mix of Sports Radio 94 WIP's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
What's going on, everyone? Jody Cameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP, and it is, of course, the end of the season. It's great to be with you on this Monday morning. We obviously wish, under different circumstances, tremendous disappointment yesterday with the Eagles, bowing out of the season, and in many ways doing so the way it would have been expected. The offense just killed them. Now, we all wish the defense hadn't given up that final drive, but the offense just killed him. We'll talk about it today. The coaches, the players, the game, the season. To a certain extent, we'll preview the offseason. Certainly, we got a long way to go for all of that. But it's really about looking back on yesterday and the last 4.5 months and doing it with you at 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hey, Joe.
Good morning.
Dallas Goedert was the first tight end to score a rushing touchdown in postseason history yesterday.
That's shocking to me.
It shocked me, too, when I saw that. Unbelievable.
That is not what I would have expected. All right, well, and there you go. Well, there's a positive, but there aren't many. Look, obviously, I'll just tell you right out of the gate, phone lines are open for you. We have one guest today. This is a day. And look, we've been through this before here at WIP and, you know, across the Philadelphia landscape. It's sort of your day. You know what I'm saying? It's together, our day together to lament, to criticize, to break down, to critique. And to discuss it all. So one guest, which will be Seth Joyner at 9 o'clock, and otherwise an open phone line for you at 215-592-9494 to get into it. Obviously, there's the emotional side of things, and then there's the analytical side, so to speak, meaning the analysis side. The emotional side hurts a lot. Now, you know, they did win a Super Bowl last year, so I'm not going to, you know, act like they're a bunch of bums. A lot of these guys gave us a lot of glory last year, but it's a wasted opportunity. My brother said to me after the game yesterday, and I thought it was well said, the defense was Super Bowl worthy. The offense was not playoff worthy. The only reason the offense played in the playoffs yesterday is because the defense carried them there. And the game kind of followed the script. If you knew the Eagles were going to lose, that's how they'd lose, that the offense would just kill them. So we break it all down today at 215-592-9494. I'll tell you the one thing that hits me more than anything after the game, and I know I'm going to have a tug of war and a battle with people on the phone lines today, this week, this month, and maybe all off season. I'm just going to tell you right out of the gate, I put it so much more on the players than the coaches. And I hear so much commentary about the coaches, obviously, namely Sirianni and Petullo. And I just got to tell you, I see it so much more about many multi-million dollar players that I think failed the Eagles a lot more than the coaches. But certainly many are going to disagree with me on that. That's fine. We'll get into it today at 215-592-9494. I mean, to my eye, on the season, the offensive line let them down, although I thought they played a little better yesterday. A.J. yesterday was a disaster. A.J. throughout the course of the season, in many ways, was a tremendous disappointment. I think Hurts let them down. I was shocked he didn't run more yesterday. Obviously, he didn't pass great. Now, his numbers could have been better if A.J. had played better, but I was incredibly disappointed that Jalen did not run more, and frankly, really surprised that he did not run more. There were way too many penalties. There were way too many critical penalties. Like, there's one thing to have a lot of penalties. It's another thing to have almost everyone feel critical. Saquon obviously dropped the ball. The kicker missed a kick, which completely changed the whole strategy the rest of the game. Look, again, I'll just say fundamentally, I put it more on the players than the coaches, but I know most will disagree with me. Your chance to weigh in, 215-592-9494. John, what are you thinking?
Our opening touchdown that I talked about, you know, the hurry up jet sweep to Dallas Goedert. We hit them before they were ready. I mean, it felt like sort of a departure from everything we've done this year, which was just average, normal, expected. But it was a good start. And then Jake Elliott missed.
That was a killer.
You know, I don't know how much that impacts this team every time it happens. I would like a kicker we can count on. I would like a coaching staff we can count on. It was absolutely more on the coaches than it was anything else. It was 13-10 at the half. We were up, remember? And we had them where we wanted them. I mean, Purdy fumbled the ball out of bounds. We got a break on half. You know, that the game ended on a runoff instead of a field goal attempt. The 49ers defense was a mess. I was positive heading in at the half. You know, hey, we weren't good, but they are so much worse. But we were so undisciplined. And, and our coach coaches on the offensive side pale in comparison to the coaches on that side. And Juwan Jennings and DeMarcus Robinson they were more productive than A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. On what planet?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Juwan Jennings and DeMarcus Robinson were significantly more productive than A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And A.J. Brown just took off afterwards. Didn't even talk about it.
Yeah, that was not cool.
The 49ers coaching staff put Juwan Jennings and DeMarcus Robinson in great position to make plays. They manufactured openness. They called route combinations that worked to pry guys open against the coverages that they were seeing. Juwan Jennings threw a touchdown pass to Christian McCaffrey yesterday. Imagine an offense doing something creative and unexpected. That play made the game 17-16, and there was no turning back from that point. That was the beginning of the end. It sure wasn't talent that won this game. They had almost none, and then they lost George Kittle. We just lost to Christian McCaffrey. We just lost to Christian McCaffrey being coached extremely well. And Brock Purdy did a nice job.
He did an okay job.
But they were
job.
Led by an innovative coaching staff. It matters. And I don't get me wrong. I hate this. I did not want this to happen. And last week was a really hard week for me. Personally, because I was saying things I didn't want to be true, but they were. So I had to say them, and I wanted to be wrong, but I also didn't want to be fake. And the 49ers coaching staff just brought a group of mediocre nobodies in here and beat the best roster in the league. We had two takeaways. You're supposed to win when you win the turnover
battle. Absolutely, by two.
We lost to a decimated roster with great coaches, despite winning the turnover battle. Imagine if our roster had great coaches leading the offense. We know what it looks like defensively. Jalen was not good enough yesterday. He needed to be more aggressive with his legs. He would have had a better game if his passes would have been caught, but he needed to be more aggressive with his legs. That's it.
The team required it.
We needed that.
I know.
So who's that on? Is that on Jalen or the staff who's calling the plays? I don't know the answer. I know that it's so much deeper than our quarterback, and I know that he needs proper guidance. Their team won with less. We lost with so much more talent on our side. Think about the last play of the game. It's 4th and 11. We got 43 seconds left. There's a timeout. They're looking at the coverage. Okay, we don't know for sure what we're going to get. When they went out there, they ran a two-jet all-go or a two-jet all-go special. I don't know exactly.
But basically verticals, let's call it. Four guys going vertical. No one coming across under 11 with the season on the line.
Fourth and 11. And your best play against quarters coverage is four verticals? Quarters coverage. They're covering two safeties, two cornerbacks are they're all covering a quarter of the field. You're running go routes into each corner of the field. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? That was your best play. That was your best play. And our coaches, it felt like they just said, hey guys, just go run and get open. You know, it felt like what I used to do in fourth grade at Hampton Elementary School when I'm playing all-time quarterback out at recess. Just go run. So John, and worst of all, Nick, by the way, was complicit with that play call. Nick is standing on the sideline.
He's involved,
discussing the play.
Well, of course.
That is problematic. We need better coaching, better tutelage, better guidance if we want to win big games, despite the fact that we got more talent than anyone else out there. So, again, and by the way, Nick's bigger role in the offense, this started whenever it started, December. How'd that look? They were not the better team. They were the better prepared team. And now we get to look at going back all the way to the Rams game. Every good team we played, Broncos 17, Packers 10, Lions 16, Bears 15, Chargers 19, Bills 13, 49ers 19. Teens. Against the good teams.
Yeah. We saw it all year. Here's the thing, and listen, John, you bring up a lot of good points. The thing that I am perplexed by, so I'll throw it to you first to explain it to me. Why do you and most people blame the coaches more than the players? Because I blame it more on Jalen, AJ. Saquon wasn't as good. I don't blame him. 482 touches last year, I think, affected him. I actually thought he was better yesterday. I thought the O-line was better yesterday. I think the refs actually helped the run game. But the passing game stunk all year. To my eye, if Jalen Hurts doesn't run, and I want to be very clear, I'm not putting like 50% of yesterday's game on him because I think there were issues all over. The penalties were killers. The kicker killed him, all that. But if Jalen doesn't run much, he's not a top 10 quarterback. He's just not. He has to run a lot more to be better. I just don't understand.
Design the offense to get the most out of your players.
You think AJ tried his hardest?
I think AJ needs to be gone.
Well, he's going to be gone. But see, to my eye, AJ didn't try.
It's not even worth it. AJ didn't even stick around after the game. Yeah. AJ needs to leave.
Listen,
AJ doesn't want to be here. Yeah. I don't want him here. You don't want him here. He no longer is a productive part of this team. So why?
Well,
why even worry?
Yeah, he's going to be gone.
He needs to leave.
Here's the thing. I thought AJ for a while was a sympathetic figure because he wasn't getting the ball as much, and I felt bad for him. Yesterday was a disastrous way for the whole thing to likely end because in the end, he looks like the disaster. Because, look, I think AJ was so beaten down by not getting the ball more often that I think it affected his route running and his will. I really believe that. I think over a couple years, he was so frustrated not getting it more. It almost kind of reminds me of Randy Moss with the Raiders. Like, I think he just lagged because he was sick of not getting it more.
Yeah, it's tough to win a Super Bowl, isn't it?
But James, that's what I think happened.
Whatever. I don't care. That's ridiculous.
I'm not saying he shouldn't have tried hard.
It was an embarrassment.
Just
he was embarrassing yesterday, and he should be gone. Like,
James, talk to me. What do you got?
I'm with John. I think there's blame to go around. I think the players, obviously, we just talked about AJ. I'm furious with him. Yeah. But I thought the coaching was an abomination yesterday. John was 100% right. I thought they got their pants handed to them coaching-wise. Not just scheme, too. You mentioned, I think the single biggest reason they love you, one thing I could take away, they win, the penalties.
Penalties.
All season long. Yeah. And that has to come. I mean, players, too, you make the penalties, but that's coaching. We've given Nick so much credit the last few years when he's fixed that stuff throughout the season. Like, remember early on, he first started, record penalties, fixed it. Like, they've been so good at that. They were not, the coaching staff, both scheme-wise offensively and culture discipline, was never able to get this team under control. They were never able to get this team functioning at a high level.
I do think the penalties,
and that has to come back to the coaching.
Yeah, I think they were the number one thing yesterday. Because they happened in such critical junctures. You know, one of the few times Jalen Ronnie gets pulled back by a Juergens penalty. Rhea, what's your number one takeaway, whether it's the game or the season?
Yeah, James is right. The penalties, I mean, you can't have two false starts at home. I mean, that just can't happen. To me, it's way more on the coaching. Because you look, this has been a problem all season where they play for one half. They have penalties. They don't perform. AJ's been a problem all year. It never got fixed. You got Big Dom who's got to separate him and Sirianni on the sidelines of a playoff game on national TV. That is on culture and coaching.
Well, I'll say this. I appreciated that Sirianni went after him.
Yeah.
I really did. And
but it didn't look playful.
No.
It didn't look like...
No.
But that's like, you know...
No, it was...
That's a problem.
It wasn't playful. But I thought Sirianni kind of spoke for millions of us. Like, dude, get your freaking act together. So, look, we'll break it all down. Whether you blame the coaches or the players more, obviously that's on the table. The tremendous disappointment. No repeat. So you got to be 50 or older to have seen a repeat in Philly sports. And maybe we're going to have to wait another 50 years. Flyers did it 50 years ago.
I said to myself, I'm not kidding. I said to myself last night, I'm just never going to see it. Like that's, I honestly feel that way. Like I could happen. Sure, of course. But like probably won't.
Probably won't.
Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take, with the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's up, world? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, chicken farmer, and now host of Free Range. This is a show where I go off the field and off the script. We're talking what's hot in music, film, trending news, and everything blowing up your feed. If you love football, you'll feel at home. But if you're here for the vibes, the internet deep dives, the conversation, this is your podcast. Join me every Wednesday. Follow and listen to Free Range with me, Von Miller, everywhere you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Hurts puts Brown in motion. Hurts takes the snap. Here we go. He steps up. He looks. He fires. It's incomplete. It's incomplete. And the 49ers will survive as it was knocked away by Kendricks. It was intended over the middle and incomplete. Second along with the clock, the Eagles' 2025 season will tick away.
I will remember you.
It's cold.
Man, we don't usually open with that.
Nah, that hurt.
Yeah, we will remember. Not fondly, but we will remember the 2025 season. Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Eagles go down 23-19 to the San Francisco 49ers in the wild card round. That, folks, was ugly. And I wish I could sit here and start the show today by saying that none of us felt deep down this day was coming. But we did. We did. Because this team all year did this, and they got away with it a lot. They did not get away with it yesterday. A lot of blame to go around, a lot to unpack. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, you know what? Rest if you must. Somebody told me this yesterday, but don't give up. Never give up, man.
What are we not giving up on?
The Eagles.
It's over.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this.
Don't give up on the season, guys.
I don't know.
All right, know. You know what? I'll let you off the hook for that one. Yeah, I know. It's okay.
I mean, it's just. You know, and it's funny, right? Well, it's not funny, but the immediate, I like to tend to just sit back and just think about what I just saw a lot.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, with the fans and everything, you don't get a chance to do that because it's like it's a knee-jerk reaction. And it's everybody wants to talk. And everybody wants to place blame. Everybody wants to do this.
Oh, I do. I have a lot to
blame. Yeah. But I think that's. That's not, sometimes that's not the right way to go. We're, you know what yesterday reminded me of? It's like being in a relationship, right? And you've been with this person and you know you're trying to work it out or whatever and you're trying to be positive and then something happens and then it just hits the fan. And now it's like the floodgates just open and every emotion comes out all at once. This is what this is today.
Well, it is, and we have a lot to talk about. 215-592-9494. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Kyle Quinn, of course, behind the glass. All right, so I there's a lot to talk about. But one thing that hit me when Nick Sirianni was doing his press conference is, you know, my head last night after the game, like, well, you know, it's the worst show of the year to do every year, right? Like, because it's the elimination show.
It's the end of the year.
But Sirianni,
it's the end of the season.
Yeah, Sirianni said something in his press conference last night. It kind of hit me. He said, we didn't do this last year, right? We as fans, haven't had one of these shows in 2 years. That's a long time to not have, like, the season is over. It hits. It hurts. We haven't had one of these around here in 2 full years. And it hit last night around 7:30 when Jalen Hurts' fourth down pass was incomplete. It was over. The season is over. You know, there's a lot to unpack, and I know you said it's more than just blame, but there is blame, right? There's blame to go around. And the Eagles, to put this in perspective yesterday, and I know you might, as I say this, you're like, come on, really? It's because I'm going to say something that's the truth. This is the most points. They haven't been favored by this many points and lost a home playoff game in 45 years. 45 years. It was 1981. Yeah, they weren't favored by as many points as they were yesterday against the Bucs or the Panthers. I mean, I know those were worse emotionally, but just in terms of, like, they're supposed to win the game.
Yeah.
They were nearly a touchdown favorite. George Kittle went out of that game. When George Kittle went out of that game,
you felt like it was going to skew your way.
Oh, my goodness. It's 13-7. Yeah. They had just scored. Kittle goes out of the game, and you feel like that team doesn't have the horses. But you know what they did? That they did have
resilience.
They had resilience. They had better coaching
Moxie.
On this day. Moxie,
boombox,
and the boombox, and their players, Hugh, outplayed the Eagles players. Hugh, I know you said it's more than blame game. It is, but as you watched it yesterday, as it unfolded, who do you blame? Like, why are we sitting here in this spot today?
You know what's funny? There's a lot to go around when you talk about this game. But when I think about it, and I think about the way that this game was built and the fact that you had cats for the San Francisco 49ers that were got off the streets.
We
talked about that.
Ridiculous.
That's on coaching, man. We got out coached yesterday. That is the most glaring thing that sticks out to me when you talk about Robert Saleh's defense and their ability to, like I said, make the quarterback hold on to the ball. Some of the things they did defensively to, I guess, to confuse, you know, deceive, whatever. I think it's the coaches. And the fact that for the last 2 months, we've not been able to score. 21 points, Joe. Not trying to, you know, point out the fact that I told you so.
Oh, no. You're not. I told you so on a Monday where we're eliminated?
I'm not telling you so. But this is the reality of what happened. This is the equivalent of our chickens coming home to roost.
Well, that's true. I agree with that.
The chickens came home to roost yesterday because we knew what this team was. And every week we act like we didn't know, you know. And yesterday the chickens came home to roost. 19 points, Joe. That's all we could muster.
Well, it's not enough.
Against a defense that was, by all accounts, second stringers. A defense that was second stringers against a prolific offense that has at least $150 million allocated to one side of the ball. Probably more than that, $200 million when you talk about the tackles and everybody else.
I know.
A lot of bread on that side of the ball. And then you talk about a lot of guys who didn't play a full NFL season. They're getting ready to go on. Where are they going next week? Who are they getting ready to play?
They're going to Seattle.
They're getting ready to play the Seahawks. And they feel real good. You know what? I knew something. I was like, these cats right here, this might be a problem. When they came out with that big-ass San Francisco 49ers boombox playing something I ain't never heard of before, and everybody's dancing, and I'm like, yeah, they're playing with house money, and they knew it.
And they played like it. And, Hugh, I'm not going to sit here and defend the coaches because the coaches were not good yesterday. I'm not going to do that because I saw the same thing you saw. They were outcoached. I mean, if anyone tries to tell me that Sirianni's a better coach than Shanahan, I just go rewatch the game. Just rewatch the game and then come back. Because that's a mismatch, okay? Obviously, Petullo, we have kind of felt all year he's in over his head, and that's on Sirianni for hiring him. I thought yesterday Shanahan got the best of Fangio. Now, it wasn't like he got torched, but he got the best of him, and that can happen. It's great versus great, and someone's got to win.
Yeah.
But, Hugh, I don't think the coaches were good enough yesterday. But I also don't think the players were. I can't take the players off the hook. When we went into the week, we knew what the coaching advantage and disadvantage was, right? We all knew that, right?
Yeah.
Everyone knew that, and everyone thought the Eagles would win the game. Why? What did we all say? The Eagles got better players.
Got better talent.
Did the Eagles players play better than the Niners players yesterday? Because that's not what I saw.
But I will say this. Mm-hmm. I will say this. On one side of the ball, you know, because we look at Quinyon and his miscues at the beginning of the game. He redeemed himself.
He got two picks, yeah.
And this defense, this is what I'm talking about, Joe. This defense gave you two gifts.
I know.
With interceptions.
I'm aware.
So with that being said, you were in position to win this game.
I agree.
And so that's why, to me, it's more on coaching.
Well, but I just want to point out that the Eagles' best players didn't play well enough yesterday. Yes, Quinyon had two picks. He also had a bad first drive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it led to 7 points in a four-point game. I thought Cooper got beat at times yesterday. I thought Zach Bond was in a blender the entire game. Their best players didn't play well. That's on the defensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's go to the offense, right? That's where the money is. That's what this is all about. A.J. Brown, if that was the end yesterday, what a way to go out, because he stunk. I mean, A.J. Brown stunk it up yesterday. Let's just call it for what it was. He stunk yesterday. And now that we're 9 minutes into the show, am I allowed to talk about the quarterback? Because he was outplayed by the other quarterback. And you could say, Joe, Brock Purdy threw two interceptions. I saw him. He also walked down the field and scored at the end to win the football game. When his team needed him to lead a drive, he led a drive against a real defense. And when the Eagles needed Jalen Hurts to lead a drive, he didn't do enough. He didn't do enough. And you could scream at me all day about Kevin Petullo. I want to go through the last four plays. Because this is when this is the moment, right? It's not about when you're winning by 30 and you throw a dagger touchdown in the Super Bowl. That's not greatness. What greatness is the last minute of the game when everything's on the line. Let me go through the last four plays for Jalen Hurts yesterday because I thought the quarterback gave them no chance to win the game. No chance. First down. He scrambles up the middle, tripped up, minus 1 yard. Second down, he breaks a clean pocket. Brady pointed it out right away on the broadcast. That is a clean pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He perceived pressure, like he always does, rolls right, throws the ball out of bounds. Two plays down. Now it's third and 11. Open receiver, Devontae Smith, open on the in cut, the slant. It is open. I mean, you could yell about Petullo all day and Sirianni. It's Devontae Smith is open. It's a first down, and it is first and goal. And he throws the ball 6 inches too high. And could Devontae have caught it? Sure, maybe. I mean, it would have been a great catch. But the ball is high. If he puts it on his chest, the Eagles have a first and goal. Jalen Hurts missed. And then the fourth down on fourth and 11, not a great. I mean, I think we all saw the play. Someone wasn't wide open. But once again on the broadcast, Tom Brady, who always seems to praise Jalen Hurts, pointed out he's late. He's late. If you're going to throw the anticipation throw, you can't wait. He waited, and then by then, the Niners knew where he was throwing the football, and they just collapsed on it. I thought the last four plays by Hurts showed his lack of progression, and I thought they showed his decline. He can't run anymore. He was tripped up. He used to run for that, get 7 or 8 yards. Then he gets tripped up behind the line of scrimmage. Throw out of bounds, and then the miss to Devontae Smith. I thought in a game where he wasn't the biggest problem all day, last four plays, he's a $50 million quarterback, and he gave them no shot.
Can't argue that, Joe, because I harped on the whole fact last week that, well, this weekend, that you got some really good quarterback play and clutch moments from your guys. Yep. You did that.
That's how all the games were won, basically.
I can't argue that. But the receivers didn't help him out. Hey, this is where I'm not blaming AJ, because there's enough blame to go around. And the one thing that I will not do this morning is just say, put this loss all on one person's shoulders. But to me, it starts with the coaching staff. AJ did himself no favors by dropping some key passes during the course of that game. There was a key drops in that game, especially when you've been so vocal about what you've been mad about, or alluding to the fact, or recklessly speculating that it was all about the quarterback. Now, I give you those last four moments of the game. But throughout that whole game, Jalen didn't play bad. He could have played a lot better, especially when you talk about compared to what other quarterbacks did.
It was a lot like his season.
Yeah. I mean, Jalen's been, for lack of a better, like, Jalen's been Jalen. And I can't lay this blame at Jalen's feet, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I definitely hear what you're saying.
I just think the players stunk yesterday. Like, what Eagle player played really good football yesterday? Saquon, he had to drop, but he ran pretty well. I mean, again, like, can we name two or three Eagles that played great yesterday? Players stunk. They got outplayed by guys off the street on off. They should be embarrassed. That offense should be embarrassed. 215-592-9494. All right, let's react together. Today's one of those days. Again, I haven't done this in 2 years around here. We're an Eagles season ends, and it is... Yesterday stunk, man. Yesterday stunk. Kyle, what are you feeling this morning? No, it's not been a great morning. Nope. Not a great morning for a lot of people around here, but certainly for you.
Picking up the pieces in multiple ways.
Yep. What are you feeling?
Of my back windshield and this Eagle season. I mean, everybody should be able to get it today.
Everybody
well, so, well, like, honestly,
I'm not mad at
like, Kevin Betullo, that nonsense with him, Nick Sirianni fighting with the player on the sideline, just a complete embarrassment. A complete and utter embarrassment in front of the entire world, the entire national audience. That's a joke.
You sound like your dad mad at you.
Yeah. I mean, A.J. Brown stunk.
Yeah.
I thought Joe laid it out well, that final sequence in the game where Mr. plays his best when the lights shine the brightest. Didn't. I mean, he came up short. There was a moment in the game where Quinnen Mitchell had two interceptions. They had 3 points off it. I mean, it's the same story as all season long. They let the defense down. They let us down. I mean, think about the team that the Niners rolled out there and took it to us. I mean, that it's so far from what the 2024 Eagles were. We're like, we run this show.
Yep.
We're going to come in there and we're going to dominate you. Like, you don't belong on this field with us. We didn't look like we belonged on the field for a lot of times with that Niners team. That was essentially a corpse. I mean, it's very, very difficult not to be embarrassed. And it's few and far between the amount of people who I'm not upset with today.
I mean, to sum it up, their best pass rusher yesterday was Bryce Huff, a guy that the Eagles couldn't use and paid money to get rid of. And he wasn't even great. He made like one play the whole game. But that's how inept that defense was. That the Eagles should have scored in the 30s yesterday based on personnel. Their coaching stunk and their players stunk yesterday. And I know, I mean, Hugh, you said it, and I think everyone kind of agreed with you when you said it to start the show. Like, we have all these great offensive players. Are we sure they're great? How many more games do we have to watch where they don't score points and I'm supposed to sit here and say they're great players?
I think...
Who's great right now?
I think the way that I look at this game is that's why coaching matters. Good coaching matters. Because I commend Coach Shanahan. You lose George Kittle.
He's a great coach. I know he doesn't have a ring yet. He's a great coach.
You lose George Kittle, and everybody's looking like, oh, okay. It's a different game. I had a cousin of mine from the Bay Area call me and say, like, while the game was going on, I was like, oh, if y'all win out, it's y'all lucky George hurt. Now y'all, you know, if George doesn't get hurt, y'all win the game. And I just kind of LOL because I was like, you know, this don't feel like a beatdown to me. So as the game progressed, you see why coaches matter. I was telling you about a play this morning that they ran where they scored on the last one. I think it was they went trips right, and they had the leak out.
The McCaffrey touchdown
to the back. That was a beautifully designed play.
I mean, they had a trick play for a touchdown. Jennings touchdown.
That was a beautifully designed play. Coaching matters in the NFL, especially when you have players, regardless of what people say, oh, well, he's a tomato can or whatever. They're in the NFL for a reason. And what I saw on one side of the ball was some hell of an execution, yep. some hell of a play calls by the offense against a really good defense. That was a hell of a chess match between Coach Fangio and Shanahan. Coach Shanahan. Yep.
They both won sometimes, yeah.
And when you have games like that in your offense, you were gifted two interceptions that you did squatta with. You ain't do nothing with them. So after a while, when you're playing a game like that and you have a coordinator that's as good as both of those coordinators were, you're going to have miscues. So I'm not mad at Vic Fangio for that. This offense, man.
It stunk.
Like and then I saw one where Emmanuel Acho was talking about going four verticals and not having anything underneath.
Yeah, that was the final play, yeah.
Joe, you have to be in games like this. Look at every other game that was played this weekend. And the creativity that you saw from other offenses in times of need when they needed to score.
I know. I'm not taking – Petullo can pack his bags, right? I'm not taking him off the hook. But do we realize, like, that's a 4th and 11 because the quarterback had 3 bad plays, right? Like,
no, I get it. Like, I'm not taking him off the hook.
Everyone's pointing that last play out and how Petullo is a moron. Did I miss Devontae open? Did I make that up? Or was Devontae wide open on the third down that Jalen missed? I mean, if Jalen makes the throw, we're not doing the 4th and 11 where everyone's pointing out how bad the play call was. I mean, guys, the quarterback has to make that throw. I don't know what to tell you. He's got to make the throw. Jamal in Philly starts us off on WIP. Good morning, Jamal.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
What's up, Hill? I hate to be like I told you so, like this ain't how you felt all season, because it's not. I had hope. But I called y'all in the beginning of the season and said, why do they keep on promoting from within, talking about the offensive coordinator? Y'all kind of made me feel, y'all was like, no, they're going to run the same offense, this, that, and other. But I'm like, but he's not ready for the moment. He ain't going to be able to make adjustments. He has no experience. That's one. The other thing is, like how we would allow him to make the same mistake that they made the year before Kellen Moore. And with all of the bad plays that Jalen made, if those drops was caught, we would have won the game. And if they would have schemed better, we would have won the game. They keep running out to the sideline. The offense is so predictable. Yeah. Jalen is Jalen. He made his mistakes. With his mistakes and without them drop balls, we win. With his mistakes and with better scheming on the offense, we win.
Yeah, but they didn't. I mean, Jamal, the bottom line is they both stunk yesterday. I mean, the quarterback wasn't good enough. He just wasn't. I mean, after they scored their second touchdown, he had 75 yards passing for the next 2 hours. 2 hours.
I get it. Jalen, listen, take away Jalen mistakes. No, keep Jalen mistakes and everybody else's mistakes. He played good enough to win the game.
He really did.
I think he did.
I mean, guys, have we realized he doesn't run? You know what quarterback was the better scrambler yesterday? Purdy. Like, I'm just, right. Jamal, I love you, man, and I'm not stopping anyone from ripping Petullo today. I know we have an entire offseason to go, and today everything is raw. If this quarterback doesn't have his legs, he is mediocre. I mean, that's it. I watched a mediocre quarterback yesterday. If he doesn't run, what do we have here? Joe in University City's up. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Joe, what's up, my name?
Am I on right now?
You're on the air, Joe.
Nah, Joe. You're talking to
Mirage. I'm so happy right now. This is like a breath of fresh air.
Why are you happy? Why are you happy?
Because this is the first time, you know, I'm hearing people, you know, in Philadelphia media actually have an emphasis and put the microscope on Jalen. You know what I'm saying? You know,
First time today. Yeah, he ain't been listening, dog.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I think Howie Roseman, in a sense, he tried to cover his tracks because, look, he made an obvious bad decision with with choosing Carson. Then you pick up Jalen, and in the cover of his tracks, he kind of like built almost a super team around Jalen to make it look like he made a great decision. And as a result, you know, we as a city and the fan base put blinders on once he started winning. But when you really look at the picture here, once we took the ball out of Jalen's hands, we started winning more. And that's a product of what, since what, 2022, you know, and since we won, people just saw the, like, point the blame towards Jalen. But when you look at it, it's like, all right, I get it. We have a bad coordinator, but that same coordinator we had, I think in 2022 or 2024, I'm not sure, he went to Washington and they excelled in as an offense. So that was kind of weird. And then we put the blame on Petula, but Jalen's he's mistiming things. And once he does decide to throw the ball and try to put the team on his back, he becomes turnover prone and he throws interceptions. So as a result, Nick and Petula, they become a little reluctant on Jalen, you know, trying to win the game with his arm.
Well, because they don't think he can. I mean, I think that's it.
It's obvious. And it hurts everyone to say, and I get it, a lot of people are more of a fan of players than they are the actual Eagles team. So they kind of get mad when you say those things. But when you look at these quarterbacks from yesterday, you see Bryce Young make insane plays. You see Caleb make crazy plays. You see, even in losses, you see Trevor Lawrence make crazy plays. But you don't see that with Jalen.
Well, he didn't do enough. Yesterday the coaches weren't good enough for him, and the receiver dropped passes, and the defensive guys had bad days. But he's got to be better. I mean, those four plays at the end summed up what the problem is for me. 215-592-9494. Letting you react today. And there's certainly a lot to react to. The Eagles season is over way, way, way earlier than they hoped and we hoped. A lot to react to today. The Eagles season ends at the hands of the 49ers. We'll keep this going after the break. Who do you blame more? Is it the coaches, the players? Where is your frustration this morning? We are on Petula watch. We get news. We'll bring that to you about his future. We are officially on Kevin Petula watch here.
Watch is crazy.
Well, you know it's coming. The clock's ticking. All right. What Nick Sirianni said about Petula's future last night. That's next. Your phone calls. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Mom, I'd like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026.
Soccer practice every week.
Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner.
When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. By the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation or innovators keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes,
stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
We are back. It is the WIP afternoon show. At Chickies and Pete's on Packer Avenue in South Philly with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Well, the Eagles season is over, Ike. They lose 23-19 at home to the San Francisco 49ers. Go ahead. I mean, what do you think of the game? Where do you think it puts them? There's so much. There's such a long list of stuff from that game. Where are you?
Yeah, you know, emotions are still a little high.
Yep.
Disappointment is obviously there. You know, frustration and anger has subsided a little bit since yesterday. But, man, just and now the reality sort of sets in that, you know, this is what we've been watching all year long. And while we've tried to convince ourselves that they could somehow overcome these deficiencies, the mental errors, the ineffectiveness from the offense at times, right? We thought they can overcome these things and sort of go on some magical run in the postseason. The realization of that not happening has continued to set in and sink in. And as you think more and more about the game yesterday, you know, the disappointment level of it just it continues to increase because you're really looking at a wasted opportunity. And I can understand that they dealt with a rash of injuries that really prevented them from reaching their potential, but this was more self-inflicted, and that's what made it more frustrating. And that's why you don't have very many repeat champions in this sport and as in other sports, because once you win it, and I'm not sitting here speaking from experience because I obviously have not won a championship, but being around the game enough and having that disappointment of reaching greater heights and not being able to sustain it or exceed it, I certainly can speak from that experience. Complacency sets in. Distractions from other things that aren't championship goal-oriented starts to set in. And that's a lot of what happened this year. And the complacency encompasses so much. What I mean by that is, are you putting in the same amount of work to be the best that you can be as you did last year that made you a champion? Are your priorities in the proper order as they were last year when it was about toughness, detail, right, and those sorts of things? You lived on those things. You know, one of Nick's sayings last year, which the players harping on, was you can't be great without the greatness of others. That's speaking of selflessness. And that wasn't the mantra this year for this team. It just wasn't. And being focused on the small things that helped you become a champion a year ago was overstepped or overlooked. And moving forward, there are a lot of changes that have to be made, right? There's a lot of changes that have to be made, but there aren't easy changes to be made, right? The direction this team is going to go moving forward, is it in the direction that says our goal is still to win a championship at the beginning of next season? Or are you resetting? So I got so much going through my mind, Spike. We'll get into the particulars of the game from yesterday, because really yesterday's game is a microcosm of what this season really was. We had missed extra point. We had
penalties
at the wrong time, seemingly always at the wrong time, meaning that when you get a big play or in a critical moment, we hurt ourselves, drop passes, miss throws, right? Not being able to adjust from a schematic standpoint offensively, going through lulls of not being productive offensively. The one thing that did happen yesterday that didn't happen often this year, but it did creep up a little bit, is we gave up big plays defensively. We gave up big plays defensively. And that wasn't something that was indicative of this defense all year. So, you know, I don't want to get too long-winded because we got a lot to comb through today. I've been listening. All the anger is justified. Where do we go from here? I don't know. Yesterday is so disappointing in the way that game played out, but it shouldn't be surprising because we've watched that all year long.
215-592-9494. Make no mistake, that game yesterday, that is a bad loss. That is not disrespect to Kyle Shanahan, who I think is a great coach, and Brock Purdy, who's a really good quarterback, and that team who has played well all year. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of teams and a lot of ways this playoffs could have gone, and the Eagles could have lost, and you could have said to yourself, you know what, I get it. They didn't win the Super Bowl again, but I get it. You play a 49ers team at home who you're almost a touchdown favorite against, who is missing not only their best defensive players, but the next round of defensive players, who lose George Kittle, their best offensive player, or their second-best offensive player, in the second quarter. That is, and you have a lead in the fourth quarter. That's a bad loss.
Yeah.
And you know, Nick preaches, and you touched on this, Nick preaches three things: tough, detail, together. And I ask you, who was the team on the Lincoln Financial Field yesterday that was tough, that was detailed, and was together? Because it was not the Eagles. The detailed team was the team that had one penalty, not seven. You know, who didn't have, you know, confusion at the line of scrimmage all the time. That was the team that was detailed. The team that was tough was the team that lost all those players and went on the road all the way across the country and beat the Super Bowl champions. That was the tough team. And the together team, it's hard to pick the team where the head coach is screaming at the wide receiver on the sideline in the middle of the game. That doesn't seem like a team that was together. And this Eagles team, though they won more games than they lost and they won the division, all those things, they were not reflective, as what you said, of what this era of Eagles football is supposed to be about. And they, again, they got in the playoffs. It wasn't 2023, but it ended in the same way, in a loss in the first round against a team that you were favored against. And yeah, it raises questions about things that we thought we were sure about moving forward. Again, they did not have to win the Super Bowl this year, mm-hmm, I don't think, for this season to look back on and say, okay, you know, we did something this year. But you can't lose in the first round at home against that 49ers team.
It's an undermanned team.
You just can't. 215-592. So, as you said, a lot to get into with the game, with the season, and we know you want to talk about it as well. 215-592-9494. Starting us off, Corey in Columbus, you're on WIP.
Man, y'all, we finally here. The season is over, man. And you guys all made good points, you know, Spike. I'm going to give Spike credit. You know, Spike said I never give him credit. Like Spike said, he was like, you know, as the week went on, he started to get more, you know, nervous. So yesterday before the game, I'm sitting here, you know, I'm hyped. So my stepdad, you know, he from Cali, Niners fan. You know, we Eagles out in the house. My real everybody here, you know, we partying. And then the news come out, Lane Johnson not playing. I'm looking on Twitter. You know, I see people, they're like, oh, dang, huge loss. No Lane Johnson. And I'm like, so we losing a guy that we haven't had all, you know, all, like, months.
2 months, yeah.
2 months. These dudes is playing with nobody. I don't see nobody on their team scared and crying. Like, and I'm like, so are we going to win this football game? You know, and it's like what y'all talked about. It's like everything yesterday, you know, we missing open receivers, you know, receivers dropping pass. Listen, this game got a way of humbling you, Spike. Look. I'll even go back. Alshon Jeffrey, right? You had a problem with the quarterback talking to Josina Anderson.
Yep.
In the biggest moment, we need you the most. What happened? That ball went through your hand. This guy on this team thought, hey, 1K yep, always open. When everybody watching you, you got that Orville Rickenbacker juice on your hands, dropping the ball. It's like this game got a way of humbling you. Nick Sirianni, listen, I'm a big Sirianni fan. But the thing with Nick is like, I don't know where this team can go. I'm not saying Nick should lose his job, but it's like a revolving door here. Okay, let's say we move on from KP. Mm-hmm. We bring in a great guy. We have a great season. That guy go get a job. We back in the same position. So it's like,
looking forward, it's kind of like what Ike said. It's like they got to make decisions. Like, I'm not saying Nick Sirianni deserved to lose his job. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, like, you got to think about stuff like that. And it's like where we are now, it's like, I don't know. Like, it's like all season, you kept trying to, like, you know, get that gumption inside you. Like, man, they gonna you know, turn it on when they need to. They gonna do this when they need to. Yesterday, the defense come out giving up yards. We thinking, oh, shoot, you know, this is what we did not need. Because we always said, you know, we going to ride on the defense.
Yep.
We go into halftime 10-13. I'm like, man, halftime is where the game is. These dudes come out, same thing, can't move the ball. Tank Bigsby got 4 carries on the first drive. I don't know if he left or if he went home, got sick, because I didn't see. It's like this coaching staff, they don't know what they're doing. And I don't want to be disrespectful or talk down, but like, it's like y'all don't know what y'all doing. It's like y'all just go out here throwing it out of the dartboard. Hey, try this play. Hey, it's like we in the backyard on Thanksgiving having a Thanksgiving, you know, turkey bowl, and we drawing up. It's like they don't got no rhythm. They don't know. You know, I'm watching Get Up today. They talking about how, you know, Kyle Shanahan, he drawing up plays in the third quarter to set up stuff in the fourth. We don't do nothing like that. We run 4 or 5 plays, you know what I'm saying, Chip Kelly-type offenses, you know, run this side, run it left, run it right, flip it. Like, it's like nothing new, and it's like I'm not smart enough offensive guy. You know, I'm not saying like that. I'm just saying when I watch this team don't look good. And it's not – if you think the quarterback is bad, I don't care what you feel about it. Spike said 8, Dak said 9, whatever. Even if you got the 9th or 10th, 11th best quarterback in the league, you should still be able to move the ball. They be able to move the ball with, you know what I'm saying, Jacoby Brissett. Like we can't move the ball with Saquon 8. It's like, I don't know, man. This is crazy, man. Now we got a whole, you know, hopefully, you know, Bo Bichette signed today, so we can get something happy about. But now we got funerals around here, you know what I'm saying? We sad, man. We got to talk about this, arguing people at each other's throats. That's why winning the Super Bowl, you can't take that for granted, y'all. And I know this ain't the time for that. You got it. When you had those moments, you got to celebrate it. You can't just push through it. Because now we back to where we was 2 years ago. Hopefully we can get back, but we don't know who's coming back. You know?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, broski.
Thank you for the call, Corey.
Yes, sir.
Corey made a good point at the beginning of that call because the same thing happened to me. My neighbor, texted me when Lane got announced out. Yeah. He's like, oh, no, this is bad. I said, Bill, they're missing their whole team. Not having Lane is bad. But if we're shaken that we don't have Lane Johnson, in this game, after he hasn't played in 2 months, that is, again, no disrespect to Lane Johnson, that's a worry. That shouldn't be a worry. They got way bigger problems than we have, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jalen didn't get sacked yesterday.
No.
And
they ran the ball pretty well.
Yeah, and they ran the ball well. So not having Lane Johnson wasn't as big of a deterrent as we thought it could be. I think it was more or less we thought it may give us that extra push.
A boost.
Of having Lane out there. But I thought the offensive line performed pretty good. I mean, let's give them credit. And I said it going into the game. You know, you guys took the week off in the final week of the season. I thought that was primarily for the offensive line. So I wanted to see a difference in their play. And for the most part, yesterday, I'm not saying they were perfect. There were a few plays where Saquon got hit in the backfield. But Saquon that was one of his better games yesterday. You know, he had a couple explosive plays there. Tank came in and ran well. Jalen wasn't sacked. So it wasn't like he was under duress all day yesterday. So I thought the offensive line had one of their better games. So them getting the rest certainly looked like it benefited them.
Well, the offense looked good in the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And it was all of a sudden like Dallas Goedert's running the ball. And I said, oh, maybe there's stuff
in
here.
His bag. Yeah, he brought the bag out.
Yes. Now, I do have to wonder.
So I saw Devontae in the backfield.
Man.
I saw some different things yesterday.
What happened in the second half?
That's where
what always happens.
Exactly. That's where the typical thing happens is that they can't put two halves together.
We had Ethan Sherwood Strauss on the show last week, and he is a Niners guy, Niners fan. And after the first half, he said, I thought you said that this offense
wasn't going to be able to do anything against the Niners defense. And I said, give it time, Ethan.
Yeah.
I was like, give it time. The second half is when we really shine. And then it was just three and out. And the penalties.
Yes.
Look, dude. There was a pre-snap penalty and 3rd and 10 makes it 3rd and 15. We end up converting that 4th down, but what? Pre-snap penalty at 3rd and 4 makes it 3rd and 9. That's terrible. You have the Saquon 1st down on, I think it was a pass. I think it was a screen pass. Holding negates that play. Then another penalty on the Jalen run negates that play.
Like one of the few times he ran.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was we were right back where we were with the same nonsense that has been happening all. You said it. Yesterday was a microcosm of the season, except they ended up losing by 4 points instead of winning by 4 points, which is what happened largely during the season.
So let me get down to those four plays right late in the game.
Yeah,
we get the ball back after going up 19-17. You know, before I get to those plays, all right, this is not me ragging on the defense, but this is me holding the defense accountable. We were going to pin our success on the backs of the defense. That was the identity of the team. I can't harp on that for weeks, and then all of a sudden when we get in the moment and we don't come through, now we go back to blaming the offense. There were opportunities where we should have taken advantage of Quinyon's turnovers. There was a short punt that we, and this is all in the second half, to only get 6 points in the second half, two field goals, with the type of field position they have, was a disgrace by the offense. That being said, we go up 19-17, I need a stop.
I need a stop. You can't let them drive down the line.
You got to get off the field.
Yeah.
If nothing else, hold them to a field goal. If nothing else. At least that gives you an opportunity to kick a field goal going the other way versus having to score a touchdown. I need you to bow your neck up and keep them out of the end zone. It was too easy. Love Coach Fangio. Love this defense. Got no problem with it. But we talked about this before the game. The biggest weapon the 49ers had was Kyle Shanahan. The matchup against Vic Fangio. And while Coach may have called the right defense, the players didn't. They didn't execute it correctly. That halfback pass or that wide receiver pass to Christian McCaffrey. Come on, man. Where's our disciplined football at? Where is putting your eyes on your luggage and your responsibility? Your luggage is your player, Fritz, in case
you
didn't know.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, your responsibility in doing that versus watching the play unfold. One of the advantages I thought we had was up the middle of our defense. And while our tackles played pretty well yesterday, our linebackers and safeties did not play well yesterday. Did not play well yesterday. I can go through the missed tackles. Marcus Epps. Not asked to do a whole lot. One of your corners get beat, you're the safety net. You can't go up there and miss the tackle and allow 40 more yards of offense. That happened on a play to Robinson after Quinyon got beat. Safety, make the tackle. That's what you're back there to do, make tackles, not miss tackles. It happened again with Juwan Jennings running through the middle of the field. Reed Blankenship, not one of your better days.
No.
Zach Bond, my God, brother. Looked real stiff out there yesterday, overrunning plays. Didn't look like your normal self yesterday. Didn't look like your normal self yesterday. So I say that to say our defense didn't bring us home like they should have brought us home.
Well, and that I agree. And that is the yesterday is an example of when it's going to be your defense that's going to lead you, the tightrope that is and how hard that is. You look at the teams that are remaining in the playoffs, the Rams, top 10 offense, Niners, top 10 offense. Bills, top 10 offense. Seahawks, top 10 offense. But the New England Patriots, top 10 offense. Like, this is, it's really hard, and there was always going to be one game at some point. Now, you would hope it would be against the Rams or something like that.
It'd be more understandable if that's who it was against.
Yes, but there was always going to be one game where the offense was going to have to score points.
Sure.
And they did. But I agree with you. I said to myself, as the defense was giving up that drive, I had, like, angel on one shoulder, devil on the other shoulder. Devil is going, angel's going, look, they've been on the field the whole second half and yada, yada, yada. But devil's going, look, guys, This is the drive.
Yeah.
You cannot allow this drive. If this is the team, if the defense is the team, you can't let this Niners team, who don't have a faster player than you at this right. point on
yeah.
offense,
yeah.
you know, you see, how are they? Yeah, I agree with you.
You can't yep. have that, man. So and that's why everybody had a piece in this thing
yep.
yesterday.
Yes.
Everybody had a piece in this thing yesterday. AJ, we're going to get to you.
Yes.
Don't you worry. We're going to get to AJ before it's too late. But Jalen, here's what I need on that final drive. Great job all the way up until it was first and 10 from wherever the hell we were at that point.
20-something.
Wherever it was.
Yeah.
You got to be better, bro. You can't miss that throw to Devontae. That was the play. It was the right play call. You needed the proper execution. That would have taken – I mean, Devontae almost pulled it in. Would have been a great catch by him. That was not a good throw by Jalen. When we talk about him throwing the ball over the middle of the field, this is why he's uncomfortable doing it. That's why he's uncomfortable doing it. I don't want to go through the whole thing Tom Brady went through about keeping the nose of the ball down, that quarterback jargon.
Come on, Ike.
But Tom Brady pointed out the nose of that football was going up versus going down when it got to Devontae
Which makes
Smith.
The ball sort of rise.
Yes, it makes it rise.
Yep.
And so that's what you get from a shorter quarterback versus somebody who's throwing at his target.
Yeah.
You got to make that throw. You got to make that throw. And then you can't escape the pocket and just waste a down. You can't just escape the pocket and waste the down. It's too critical right here. So then we go to the timeout. And y'all are over there discussing what to run. For everybody out there, you know when they go over there talking to him, they are asking him, what does he think? What do you feel most comfortable with in this scenario here? What do you like, Jalen? So he has input on what they're running there. He knew the coverage he was going to get. He said that, and I'll give him credit. He didn't make any excuses. He didn't blame anyone else. He said it was on him. You got to throw that. If you're going to go to Dallas Goedert, which I totally understand because now you don't trust
AJ
on the outside. You want to go to Goedert because he's been the big guy for you. You got to throw that ball with anticipation. You got to throw that ball with anticipation as opposed to waiting for him to sit down in that zone and get open. Too many eyes are on you. It's fourth down. They're all watching. So you got to throw that. You got to have the ability. You're not Matthew Stafford, but you got to have the ability to look off
yes.
defenders and still put the ball where you intentionally want to throw the ball. You can't stare at the spot you want to throw the ball to. I need you better in that position. And we're going to call you elite because you win, then that was your time to be elite and get the win. We don't need you to be elite all game, but we some of us refer to you as being elite because you do what it takes to win games. You needed to be elite right there, and you weren't. Missed opportunities there. First and 10 from there, we should have been going in the end zone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.